So I've built out policies, procedures, systems for all of these things. So you can write these things down. You can go out and build your own systems, your own policies and procedures for these things, and then ultimately create videos or create documents on it and then train them on it. But I think it's important to state, again, to stress this, that if you want to be successful in this business, you as the owner should know these systems. You should learn it. If this is your baby and you have to fire someone, you need to know how to do these things, and you need to know how to train somebody if you hire a brand new manager. I have a better option than the dinky RAL. Let me show you how to create a luxury new construction mansion of an assisted living. When I started out in assisted living, nobody had a roadmap for how to build and operate a luxury assisted living. As I grow my business and provide you tips and strategies for you to succeed. Welcome back to Assisted Living Investing with Brett Schottkavis. I'm here to document my journey, show you along the way how to build and operate assisted living mansions. When I first got into this, I didn't really see anybody documenting or showing me a system for operations. There was some stuff out there, but I kind of thought it was fluff, and it was really done by people who are not in the business. They're not actually running it. They're just more coaching. So I want to show behind the scenes, here's how we run our company. Here's how we build these, and here's how we operate these. So today, I want to talk about training your manager. We're going to focus more on the operation side, and I'll show you here is exactly the things that we go through as we are hiring a new manager and as we are training a new manager. And really, I want to stress to you that Laura and I are able to do this because we learned all these systems. We built them out. And so this is not an easy business. This is not a real estate type of deal. It can be, but what I'm talking about is the operations company where it's an actual business, right? You're running a company, and therefore there's a lot of work into it, and the process takes a lot of time to dial in. So today, let's dive more into the manager. How do you train these managers? And I want to start by at least setting the stage and saying that I run a two-manager system for each one of my mansions. I think it's important, and I think it's the best way to do this. And we are able to financially do this because of our niche, the memory care mansion. We run luxury 16-bed custom-built mansions that are built really for end-of-life care. They take care of grandmas and grandpas with dementia and people who don't have dementia, but they have a bigger physical problem, a more end-of-life problem. And because of that larger size problem, we are able to have higher rents. Our rents are the highest in our market, and we're able to do that because we can beat the big smelly facility every single time. We offer all the care and amenities of the four-story nasty facility in a custom, beautiful, intimate 16-bedroom mansion. So I want to stress the importance of your deal, right? You cannot do any of these things. It is not cheap to have two full-time quality managers, but it is the end result that I want. I do want the time freedom to be able to spend time with my kids. And this is the best way to get that. All right, so let's start with the beginning here. What are the roles? What are the expectations that I have for our managers? And really, there's two things. And I'll literally read right from our training manual. Here's what it says. The core duties of the management team are to train and equip the staff in order for them to provide excellent care for our residents. Part of these duties require the manager to be the staffing backup plan and to cover any shifts and tasks directly when the need arises. The second main role of the manager is the necessary administration and operations duties to run the mansion. So the ultimate goal of the manager is, at the end of the day, to provide excellent care for our residents, for our grandmas and grandpas. And they do that in two ways. One, by training and equipping the staff in order to be able to provide excellent quality care. And the other really important part of this is I have managers, and I specifically have two managers, not because of the workload, but because of the backup plan, right? I am building in a backup plan, and I think that's really important for your management to know right on the front side. That's why I literally put it in there. I want them to know, hey, you are not someone who I'm expecting to sit behind a desk 40 hours a week. I want you there on the floor seeing what's happening. And ultimately, when there is a gap in staffing, when somebody no-call, no-shows or gets sick or goes on vacation or we have to fire somebody, your job is right there in the one of the core things that you have to do is to cover that shift. I don't want to cover that shift. Laura doesn't want to cover that shift. I want you to first reach out and see who can cover that shift. What other staffs do we have? But ultimately, if it can't get covered, it is your core duty that this is for you to cover the shift. So I like to really highlight and stress that point, even when we're going on day one, right? Before we even hire someone, here are the two things that I need you to do. Make sure our staff is equipped and trained and cover these shifts if you need to. The second part of this is all the operation things, all the administration things that you have to do, right? Both of these things are super important. So I kind of want to set the stage with that. And then I want to focus and build out more on the operation sides. What are the actual duties, right? Because I have a series of 8 or 9, depending on how you split them out, lists of duties that I want to go through and train my manager on. So let's talk about that today. So the first question is, where do you start? So everyone's going to come at this from a different place, right? Are you building brand new and you're going to hire a manager? Do they have experience? Do they not have experience? Are you firing a manager and you have to promote or hire somebody brand new, right? You're going to be starting from different points on this. So really, I think the best way to start is, what is your pain point? Start there. Ultimately, what is it that you are doing right now that you want to take off your plate? And I think that is the most important place to start, because I'm going to break this into 3 core roles that are the priority that you should train and focus on first. And then there's about 5 other roles that I add in subsequent months as they are performing and I can pass on more responsibility to them. So here are the 3 core roles. It's ultimately staffing operations, resident operations, and outside services. So I'm going to start with these 3 things, and each of them have a whole bunch of subpoints that I'm going to train on. But ultimately, if you are hiring someone before you're even open yet, I would hit all 3 of these together. And really, as we expand and grow and hire new managers, I teach this over about 2-week period, right? These 3 core duties. And then I don't even get to the subsequent other 5 for at least 2 months. And it's really kind of depending on the person, but I really want them to get a great hold on the core of what they do, because ultimately these 3 things are about 85% of the job. All right, so let me share this with you so you can have a plan that you can ultimately build this out. Because here's what we did. I took this list of things that I'm gonna share with you, and then I started making videos on them. And then from there, I had paperwork, I had policies and procedures that I wrote up. And then you can take those and train directly on it, or you can take that and send it to somebody and say, hey, build me a manual, right? A policy and procedures manual. And that's ultimately what I did. I built out a manual and I continue to upgrade and change it as I grow in my business. Now, I do want to stress that somebody has to train on these things. If you hire a new manager, you can't just give them this manual and say, good luck, right? Or you can't just expect that you're going to hire some manager from the big smelly facility down the street and say, okay, go ahead. And they're going to implement your vision. They're going to implement big corporate culture and it's going to be gross, right? If you want to have an intimate, beautiful mansion that provides the best of the best care, you literally need to, as the owner, know all of these roles, know every single policy and procedure, know exactly how you want this done for your building. Otherwise, you're going to get big corporate culture if you hired in someone who was trained by big corporate culture. So what I would like to do is be able to show you, here are the things that Laura and I learned. Here is a list of them, and you can download them, you can write them out, and you can go and learn these things yourself and then build your own policies and procedures, create your own systems to train and implement on these things. So let's first start through resident operations. This is really the foundation. The most important part of what we do is taking care of grandmas and grandpas. So I'm going to start here from the beginning. When you bring in a new grandma, right, you have your admission paperwork. So knowing all of those things, how do you do it? What paperwork needs to be signed by the family, by the POA? What information are you collecting? Backgrounds and histories and medical, so many different things there. Then there's assessments and care plans. Do you actually have to go and visit the grandma or grandpa in their home, in another facility? Are you going to bring them to your mansion? How are you going to assess them? What paperwork are you going to fill out? Another point of this is the medication management. What medications are they on? How do you work with the doctor and the family to decide, hey, here's what we should keep mom on. Here's what we think we should recommend to the doctor that they don't continue to take. Here's how we came up with a care plan that brings the medications in that we can dial in a sweet spot where mom is not over-medicated and she's not under-medicated and having behaviors. Family communication is another really vital role of the manager. As you are bringing in a new grandma, as they are declining, as you are having meetings weekly or monthly with the doctor, bringing in the family, right? It's almost like a triangle. There's you as the assisted living owner or management team. There is the family, and then there's the doctor. This triangle is super important to get the communication on the same page in order to have the best care plans really for the grandma. And the last part on this is the resident binders. Our binders are like 4 or 5 inches thick on all of our grandmas and grandpas. There's so much different paperwork that has to go in there. You should have a plan for every single time you get a new assessment, you get a medication change, you have a fall, you have an incident. All of these things go into the resident's binder and they're organized in a systematic way. So these are all the things that you should create as far as policies, procedures. This is what you should document and then go through and then train your upcoming managers one little subpoint at a time. Show them the ropes, show them how you're going through this, and actually let them get to shadow you on these things. Next, let's talk about staffing operations. You cannot take care of any grandmas and grandpas unless you have staff. And ultimately, we have three types of staff on our payroll at Platinum. We have management, we have caregivers, and we have a chef. Everyone else that comes in is an outside service, and we'll talk about them in a few minutes. So here's ultimately the roles that I want the manager to be trained on to take over regarding staffing operations. I want them to do the orientation. I want them to run through our binder with them, get all the required signatures, get all of the W-2 information and other things that we need, onboard them into our HR system so that we have a new employee that has everything signed and they know here's what our 3 days of training look like. Orientation day, following day, and then you're doing it yourself on the floor and we're supervising our 3 days of training, right? I want them to know what these systems are, how to do it, and make sure that our new employees can go through these things, and then asking them after this 3 days of floor training, what additional resources do you need? Do you need to go through additional training on any specific item? And then that's just the 3 days, right? Then there is a system for continuous on the job training. What other things do they need to learn? Because you're gonna get kind of the gist of it in the first 3 days, but then we're gonna take the next couple months and dial in one specific skill set at a time. How do you transfer? How do you feed? How do you shower? How do you do bed changes? So many little skill sets that you're not gonna get right the first time that you can continue to dial in. And that's really important for the manager to know these things, be a master at them, and then to work with the staff and the lead staff to continue to train the newer staff on these things. Then there's medication delegation, working with your doctor or your RN to delegate our staff. And we have a once a month mandatory meeting where all of our staff comes, we go through medication trainings and we delegate the new staff members. I want my manager to know the system, to run the system. They create medication tests, they do medication trainings on the most common medications that we use. I also want the managers to handle all the scheduling, all the time off, all the schedule requests, all of those things I want them to do. And that's just for the caregivers. Then we're gonna start talking about the chef and the kitchen. I want them to learn all of the kitchen systems. I want them to manage the chef. I'm gonna teach them later about the ordering systems and the menu. I have a system for all these things, but I don't wanna overwhelm them yet, really in my first core three items. I'm gonna bring back the kitchen systems at a later date. But at this point, it is important that they are managing the cook or the chef and knowing that the timeline and everything and that the food is of quality and hitting the plates at a certain time. That's the basis of the staffing training. I'm gonna come back in a little bit. We haven't talked about hiring yet. We'll bring that in because ultimately I want that responsibility after I've seasoned them a little bit more so they know who I wanna hire. They know more of our culture and our core values. The third core item here is the outside services. And ultimately, that means everyone who is not on my payroll. There's about 10 different outside services that come into Platinum, and I'll talk about the core of them, but I want them to schedule and oversee these things, right? So it's home health, it's hospice, it's the doctors or their RNs, the PAs, it's the barber or the stylist. There's also the pharmacy, the dentist, the podiatrist, mobile x-ray, vaccines. There's so many different things that come into our building that are not on my payroll. These are all in the outside service category, right? The core of it is home health, hospice, and the doctor and the pharmacy. Those things, right, are there every single day, every single week. There's hospice coming into our building 3-4 times a week. Same with home health. Our doctor comes in on rotation about once a week. So I want to teach a system to my managers where they are overseeing this. They are getting together, right? We talked about this triangle. It's the management team, it's the doctor, and it's the family. they need to be involved in this. They need to be able to recommend to the doctor and the family, hey, I'm seeing the resident do this, right? At 4 o'clock, pretty consistently, right? I'm seeing these behaviors. There is a pattern here. Or she's normal, but all of a sudden 2 days ago, she started having issues or behaviors. Maybe there's a UTI, right? This is very much a core of what their duties are, to be this kind of in-between, to be the voice for the resident, because ultimately that resident may not have a physical voice any longer at the end of life. So a lot of this part is scheduling, it's emails, it's meetings with these outside services, gathering a lot of paperwork, a lot of documentation, and then saying to the family, here's everything that we have, and we're putting this into their folder, and we're setting up the following appointment, and we're continuing to monitor new medications that have changed to see if that's working. So those are my core three things, right? The staff, the resident, and the outside services. This is really where I want to start. This is the majority of my manager's job. So ultimately, if I'm hiring a brand new manager, I will run through this kind of step by step over about a 2-week period with them, and I'll show them this myself. And I think it's really important to acknowledge that I know this, that Laura knows this, and that I can train my managers. After I have a steady, solid manager, that manager can be the one doing the training. I am not doing this anymore. When we hire a new assistant manager or a lead caregiver, it's my existing managers that are now doing these trainings. But me as the owner, I am continuing to work on my systems, my policies and procedures. When something comes to my attention that, hey, this is not working anymore, or we didn't realize it was doing this and here's a byproduct, this is where I come in as the owner and I change the systems. I have our meetings with our management and they've identified some problems that I come up with the solution, or we come up with the solution, but I make the change on the policy level. So after potentially a couple months, after you have focused on the core duties, you know you have the right person for this job, right? And they can do this job. They've got at least good at some of these tasks. Then one at a time, as the situation arises, I will start adding additional duties. And we talked about 5 of them. So I'll kind of hit them a little bit lighter on this side. Most likely, the next role that I'm going to want to add in is the hiring. Now, I've probably had them do a secondary interview if they are new managers so they can see and they can learn the process, but I have not had the decision solely on them. At some point, I'm going to trust their judge of character. I'm going to trust that they know what our culture is and who's a good fit and who's not, and then I'm going to release that responsibility to them to make the ultimate decision. Hey, I think this person's a good fit and I want to hire them. So to give you perspective, Laura and I do not interview any of our new hires any longer. We have a trust with our management team that they know who we're looking for. And now they do all the hiring and they do all the firing and they do all the write-ups. But I wanted to wait until they know our culture and I make sure I trust this person and they know who we're looking for before I release some of those roles to them. And I do it naturally, right? It's not like, oh, all of a sudden you're in charge of hiring. It's, hey, over the next month or two, I'm going to have you shadow me, right? We are going to do these interviews together. I'll do one and then you'll do one. And then I'll tell you feedback. Here's who I think will be a good fit. Here are my red flags. Here's what I don't want to do. Now, that's the same for the job postings and the chef and all of these other things relating to hiring. The next thing that I want to start bringing them in on is the sales and the touring. One of the first things I'll have them do is start answering the phones. If I don't already have someone answering the phones live, I'm going to have them answer the phones. I'm going to have them follow up on leads. And then I'm going to train them on sales and on touring. I have a specific structure on touring that I teach to our new managers. And we literally do probably about once a week, I'll pop in and Laura and I will run a mock tour with them. And I will pretend like I am the family member rolling into Platinum saying, hey, you know, here's a pretend grandma that I'm looking for, right? Like, give me the full tour. You can do this however you like, but I do think mock tours, in addition to a system and structure and word tracks, are really, really important. The third thing that I'll start adding is the ordering. I potentially have a chef who's already doing the ordering, but I want them to know how to do it, right? If they have to fire the chef, I want them to be able to take over in that in-between time. So I'll teach them the systems that are already in place for our ordering of food, and the same with the ordering of all of our PPE and any incontinence care. All of that stuff has a system and a process. I want them to learn it. And ultimately, that's not too big of a deal to teach them these systems. The next one is marketing. That one I think is actually a little bit more complicated and harder to do. It's a lot of relationship building. It's a lot of systems here. And we will bring them along to marketing events and meetings depending on their personality. Especially if I have multiple managers, I'll pick the one and start with that person who has a more of a niche for it. And we'll take them along. Laura will do this. She'll say, okay, hey, let's go and meet all the industry influencers in our market. Who are the people who are going to send us leads? Who are the relationships we need to build to create referrals? And we talk through what our strategic 20 is. That is our marketing process in order to get unlimited leads from referrals. So Laura will go through and show, here's how to do this. And ultimately, Laura does maintain this as a long-term role for herself, but she does supplement it with our managers. And then the last thing is maintenance. I want them to oversee the maintenance person. It may be calling our handyman, it may be calling the HVAC company or the electrician, whatever it is, but I don't want to get a call if there's an outlet that doesn't work, right? I don't want to get a call if there's a toilet that doesn't work. They know how to pick up the phone, right? And say, here's a list of our maintenance people, call them, right? If it's, you know, a certain dollar amount or less, then just book it. If it's more than that, then shoot me a call or an email. If there's some crazy number, I want to approve it. But otherwise, if it's within this normal window, then just do it, right? Give them the permission to handle these small day-to-day things. So these are all the categories or roles that I train our managers on. So I've built out policies, procedures, systems for all of these things. So you can write these things down. You can go out and build your own systems, your own policies and procedures for these things, and then ultimately create videos or create documents on it and then train them on it. But I think it's important to state again, to stress this, that if you want to be successful in this business, you as the owner should know these systems. You should learn it. If this is your baby, and you have to fire someone, you need to know how to do these things. And you need to know how to train somebody if you hire a brand new manager. The worst thing was for us when Laura and I were brand new at this and we didn't know anything, we hired a manager and we felt trapped. We felt trapped because we didn't know the systems. We depended on that person. And I don't want to depend on anyone for my business. I want to be able to take control and know that I can run it if I needed to. And ultimately, I'm not keeping a staff person because I have to. If somebody's not a good fit, I want to be able to release them and know that I can replace them. So I want to encourage you in this business. I love this. It makes incredible money for our family. It allows time freedom and financial freedom. But I want to tell you, it was not easy for me to learn all these things. But you don't have to learn them overnight. You can learn them over a series of months and get better and better at them. But I think it is important that you do as the owner, and I want to stress to you that it is worth it, that you can become a multimillionaire in this industry, that you can have a huge real estate play and an incredible cash flow play. But anything that is that strong, that awesome, is not going to be easy, right? It's going to push away the other competition. Most people cannot do what I do and build these mansions because they're not willing to put in the work. So I want to encourage you to put in the work because it is 100% worth it. It's maybe 6 or 9 months of figuring all this stuff out, developing your systems, training the right people, and then you get to step back out of the business. At this point, Laura and I work 2 to 4 hours a week. We are at every single one of our kids' game. We vacation all the time, and we're able to do this because our managers are equipped to run this. We have the best reputation in Georgetown, and I'm able to get my end result. Time freedom and financial freedom. So put in the hard work on the front side and reap the benefits for decades to come. So lastly, I want to invite you guys to our Facebook group. There is a private group that we have, Assisted Living Investing Memory Care Mansion, and you'll see me and Laura there showing all the behind the scenes. Here is how we actually go and run these things. Here is how we create these systems. And we share a lot of tips and strategies and techniques that you can do the same. So I can't wait to see you there. Thank you for joining me today, and I'll see you on the next one.